Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio at Three Falls Cabin in the North Georgia Mountains, it's time for O'Neill Outside. For anything in the outdoors, this is your source. Listen in and call the show with your comments or questions. And now, here's O'Neill.
Welcome back, everyone. The second hour of O'Neill Outside is headed your way from Three Falls Cabin in the North Georgia Mountains. This is Works Radio, W-O-R-X, and I'm obligated to, and with great pleasure, I'll tell you this program is brought to you every week by Works Tools, Stripling's General Stores, Tough Shed, Snellville Heating and Air, Rocco's Pub, the Department of Natural Resources in Georgia, Big Green Egg, True Turn Hooks, Arctic Ice Freezer Packs, O'Neill's Podcast, Fisher's Choice Baits, and Year One Auto Parts. So we've got some calls already. We're going to get to those in a moment. The telephone numbers are 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750 in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And across the country on the SB Nation Network, the number is 800-972-8255. That's 800-972-8255. We have the mailbag coming up. We have the calls from you guys. We'll finish the program as usual with the Medal of Honor, and we'll give away a Rocco's prize package sometime during this next hour, and we hope that you'll join us. Before we get to that first break and I get to talk to Wade, then I want to tell you, we're going to be fine. They're going to sock this virus in the head soon. We're going to recover. We're going to be just fine. Maintain your instructions from the government and medical officials about staying quarantined. Don't go anywhere. Stay home. Give these health care workers, whether it be police, firemen, medical assistants, give them a break. Okay, do what you can and what you should do to separate yourself. Don't go anywhere. Do your part. We'll have this behind us very soon. We've done it before. Okay, first break coming up. We'll talk to Wade and a whole bunch of other stuff when we get back.
Town hero at the bar, burned out highline superstar, you know.
Okay, let's get to some calls. What do you say? No more politics. You understand my feelings on all that? Just follow through. Right now, let's finish up our call with Wade. Wade had something else he wanted to chat about. Good morning, Wade.
Yeah, this ain't politics. I mean, I'm proud of the way the school systems are handling this.
Right.
They make sure these kids get a meal.
Oh, I see.
See, Buford's out on vacation next week.
And
on yesterday, they got Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Oh, excuse me. On Wednesday, they got Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday's mail. Next week's on that. But they're going to close the school system for the year, but they still going to provide them kids with lunches till the end of May.
Wonderful.
I'm probably up here at Bowling Green. I'm right here on the county line where you got Warren County and then you got Bowling Green City Schools. And they come through yesterday. The teachers come through with a big old long parade, blowing their horns, signs, balloons, all the kids out on the road waving at everybody. But up here, oh, no, you leave and go to the store, everybody's in the yard doing something. It's too pretty to be inside. But
that's right. Yeah, it's springtime.
It'll be good.
You bet.
But I'm going to ask you something. You're talking about them bass on bed.
Yeah.
And I have had a gentleman argue with me on the internet about this. Now, a carp can do more harm in 1 minute than anything else can to that bed, can't it?
Absolutely.
When she lays those eggs in there, and that carp comes up there and eats every one of them in 1 minute, he's killed 10,000 fish.
Absolutely.
What was the ratio now? She lays 100,000 and only 10,000 will make it legal limit?
No, for every 100,000 eggs that she lays, only one bass will make it to 12 inches.
Well, I'm off on that. But now, a gar, I consider a gar a trash fish, just like a carp.
Yep.
And I had a gentleman want to argue with me about that, and he said, no, they're not. I said, man, they eat up the game fish. They eat the bass, they eat the crappie, they eat the eggs. They'll do the same thing to a bass bed. They'll suck the eggs up. He's like, man, that thing's got a mouth full of teeth. Why does he want to be a bottom feeder? Because it's opportunity.
One of these days, we'll talk about how. Well, he's more of a deeper water fish than a bank roamer. So he's not going to spend much time on the beds. He's a scavenger. He eats what floats to the bottom out in deeper water.
Well, the Chesapeake and the Chattahoochee had both alligator gar and long nose gar in it when they dammed up Lake Lanier, didn't they?
Well, they have long nose and spotted. They don't have an alligator gar. An alligator gar has a mouth like an alligator.
Okay.
So he looks different. You can tell him apart very easily.
Well, we were fishing up there in the back of Bayless Creek, and I kept missing this fish, top water season. I'd miss him deadly. All right, wait, you done missed? Try again. On some standing timber, that's where all timber fell. I throwed over and I jerked my creek chub darter about twice. I missed him, and daddy throwed right behind me with a torpedo and caught one. That joker was 4 foot long, and his nose wasn't nothing but teeth.
Yeah, that was a long nose or a spotted gar.
I seen Bill.
It wasn't an alligator gar. And they are fun to catch.
With a yellow rope. He threw a yellow rope out there with no hook on it. Catch him with a yellow rope.
Catch him with a string. All right, pal. Appreciate you listening. I got to go, pal.
Hey, thank you, Neil. Appreciate it. I want to give a shout out to my buddy Travis down there in Buford. He's he's doing good, but he's listening to me talk to you. And I said, I'm going to give him a shout out. But appreciate you, Neil. Everybody behave out there. Stay at home.
You bet. See you later, pal. First of all, let's go. He's been holding on quite a while. Mark is calling from Camden County, and I'll bet you Mark is going turkey hunting today.
That'd be a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, that's pretty safe. Yes, indeed. Yeah, what's on the agenda for you, sir?
I'm going to go float the river this morning on the borderline between Jeff Davis, Montgomery County, Bowles Creek WMA. Been a pretty good turkey season so far. The gobbling activity last weekend was extremely slow, but I managed, like you and Milton were talking about earlier, I got on a couple of lonely gobblers about 9:30 in the morning last Sunday, and they came to me like they were on a string, and I took one. So I've got one under my belt this spring so far.
Good for you. Let me ask you a question, sir. What do you think about Milton's recommendation about hunting late in the afternoon?
It's an excellent way to take a bird if you can ever get one to gobble really any time during the day. It doesn't matter if it's lunchtime or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That bird is usually the easiest gobbler you will find to call, because most of the times, if he gobbles that late in the day, he's alone.
Right, he's alone, so you can get him. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You don't need to go in there and be a world champion caller and start breaking out all your calls and calling too much either. Usually a few soft yelps, a couple of clucks is really all you need. If he wants to come, he's going to come straight to you. It's exactly what the first did.
Because that time
of that I do down here in South Georgia where I use the boat too, it's an excellent way to hunt, and there's tons of public land all across South Georgia, especially, that have rivers that run through them. And best way I've ever found to get to the remote areas of public land. And I would temper anybody's enthusiasm that wants to do it is please don't throw a boat in a South Georgia river that you've never ran. Make sure you go down there in the daylight a little while first and scout these rivers out and start cataloging away the hazards, the snags, the shoals.
Good idea.
But it is an excellent way to hunt. I've been doing it this way for at least 35 years.
Yeah, you're and successfully doing it too. That's a great recommendation, Mark. Good luck to you today, pal.
Yes, sir. And remember, the DNR commissioner did say turkey season's still open, fishing's still open. Just find your P's and Q's, maintain your distance, and it's still okay to get out in on the water and in the woods in Georgia and self-isolate in the woods.
Mighty fine.
I'm not saying that sarcastically. I mean, really, if you're going turkey,
I know. I'm with you 100%. Glad you called, Mark. Have a great weekend, pal. Be sure and be in touch with me next weekend. Let's see here. I've got 2 minutes. Let's talk now to Mac. He's always got something great to say. Good morning, Mac. What do you say?
Good morning, O'Neill. How are you?
Just fine. I got 2 minutes, and I know I'll learn something from you today.
Well, we'll see. We'll cram this into 2 minutes.
Okay.
Fishing's good. There you go.
Just get out there and give it a try, huh?
Yeah, now, a lot of good stuff going on. Of course, this is the only time of year, beginning the only time of year, we can catch spotted bass out of shallow water. They'll say shallow, less than 10 or 12 feet. You can go down the bank and catch them, flukes. If you get a little wind, spinnerbait or a jerkbait, soft plastic's hard to beat. A robo worm on a weedless wonder or a cinco on a same jig head or neko rig. It's just, or even just a good old-fashioned old-school texture rig will catch them. Just going down the bank. Find your bank that's got cover on it, and they'll be there. Striper fishing's been really good. We've actually still got a lot of birds on the lake. Really watch them because they'll help you find them. Yeah, they'll start going home for long, as warm as it is, but they've been a big asset the last few weeks. And if you see schooling fish right now, and we've had quite a few schooling fish, particularly on the days where we've got some cloud cover, some rain. But if you see one on top, if you'll throw a mini-mac to him, he will come. He won't just eat it. He'll come and get it.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's been crazy. And then if you're not seeing them on top, just find them, look for the birds, or if you see just one or two surfacing fish, put you out a nice bait spread, or just put you some herring on a planer board and pull them over high spots, points, humps, over the reef poles. And, you know, what I always tell people when you're pulling your live bait spread, though, Neil, one of my pet peeves, don't just sit there and wait for a bite. Pick something up and cast it.
Yes,
you get
I agree.
So many bonus bites, whether it's, and you catch a lot of spotted bass, which is a good
thing
for me, but you know, a jerk bait, a spinner bait, or if you just want to really target the stripers, a topwater or the mini mac, you can cast it to the banks, to the little points, the reef poles. But while you're waiting for that next bite, keep something in hand and cast it. It will pay off for you right now.
Great recommendation, so Mac. Great recommendation. Next week, I want to spend some more time with you. I have some, but I'm covered up with calls, but I'm going to spend some more time with you next week. This is O'Neill, and I'll be back. I'm right on time. I think. 25 after the hour. We got a lot of calls. We want to get to every single one of them. I appreciate people getting up in the morning and give us a shout. First of all, been holding on the longest time. John is calling from somewhere in the Catskill Mountains in North Georgia. I mean, in New York. I'm sorry, pal.
Yeah. Greetings from the Catskill Mountains. O'Neill, real quick, in 1968, the Vietnam War was going on. Apollo missions,
yes.
But there was a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic, the Hong Kong flu.
Right.
A million people died worldwide, 100,000 in the United States. I remember it. I was a 10-year-old boy in bed, sick for 2 weeks with the Hong Kong flu, and we all got through it.
Absolutely, and we will this.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Predators.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yep. I've got a list of predators of turkeys I've seen over the years.
Okay.
Bobcat killed one on the nest. That was the first one I ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
A bobcat stalked behind one that was feeding and killed it.
Oh.
A red fox patiently waited between two boulders as a flock was working their way up toward him, and he killed that one, ate it. In September, of a year, an immature red-tailed hawk killed an immature turkey.
Oh.
And that was, yeah, I was surprised at that one. I really was. And a red-tailed hawk fed one at a nest, fed a poult, a young turkey, to the young at the nest I seen. Coyotes, I've seen one run after three tom turkeys during the hunting season. He never had a chance.
Right.
But, you know, it's just amazing how when something's sitting on a nest, it's very vulnerable.
Oh, indeed.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, last time I talked to you, I went out and I found a woodcock nest. First time I've ever seen one of them.
I never have.
She's doing good. I sent you some pictures, even snow covered. It snowed a couple, 2-3 inches up here, and she got covered in snow.
Oh.
She's doing good. She's got a lot of predators in that area, but hopefully next week the eggs will hatch, and I'll keep you updated on that. But predators are out there, and all the odds are against these things, but a lot of them make it.
Well, I tell you what, this predator and prey ratio has worked very well for the last 11,000 years. The only time that hasn't worked is when men have been involved.
Yeah. Yep. I'm very interested in listening to you guys turkey hunting, and boy, you know, we got to wait till the whole month of May. May 1st it starts here, but we don't hunt in the afternoon. During the New York season, it ends at noontime. Because their theory, the ones that establish this, is the hens come off the nest to feed, and they don't want anybody shooting the hens.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we only have morning hunts here in New York.
Okay. Well, we don't shoot the hens here.
No, we don't either. Only in the fall of the year.
I see. Okay.
That they don't want people hunting accidentally shooting the hens.
So in theory,
it stops at noontime. Yeah.
Well, I always learn something every time you call, John.
Appreciate it. I always love listening to your show and everybody else who calls and all the stories. Appreciate
Good deal. Have a great weekend, pal.
Yes, thank you.
You bet. I'll see you soon. Now let's talk. We've got time to talk to Hank the Yank. What do you say, my good friend? What's going on with you? It's 29 after the hour.
I'm a little disappointed.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
One of our callers this morning.
What?
Did you hear that guy wave? Did you hear what he said? He actually called a carp a trash fish.
Well, I know. You leave him alone.
Oh boy. I'll tell you what. I was half asleep and that got me out of bed and all fired up.
No, it's a great shallow water feeding fish for you to catch on the fly.
That's exactly right. One of the great game fish around. No question about it. If you've never tried it with a fly rod, boy, it's like bone fishing and red fishing in the salt water. It's very likened to that. And once you do it, you'll get hooked.
But anyway, it's good.
Let me tell you a couple of quick things. First of all, you know, fishing on Lanier has been very good this past week. We're on the upside of the full moon. And as you know, you and I have talked forever about how the moon phases really can affect the fishing. And When I'm guiding, and I've obviously canceled all my trips right now until this thing goes away, but the first thing I try to do is get my customers on the moon phases. And 7 days before the full moon to 3 days after the full moon, it's like putting a chip on your side of the table when you're trying to figure out when should I go fishing. So if you can get out this weekend today through, say, next Friday, you're putting a chip on your side of the table. And if it's going to be a little bit overcast one day or prefrontal, you're putting another chip on your side of the table. And when you put a lot of chips on the side of your table, you end up usually catching a pile of fish.
So
that's what people need to know. So we're on that upswing of the full moon, and that's just a really good fishing period. So, and I know you've experienced that as well, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, and if you go to so many websites, including O'Neill Outside, on that home page at the bottom, you can see the moon phase clock. And
That's
it
right.
will give and, you the moon phases.
And that will help you plan your trips for the future. I mean, you
certainly.
I'll have people calling me in the next month to get on my calendar for the fall already. And they'll be looking at October, November top order for stripers. And the first thing my seasoned customers know is they'll call me and go, well, we got a good moon phase this day in October. Let's do that. So you can plan your trips far out in advance to put those chips on your side of the table.
Absolutely. Wonderful recommendation.
Well, listen, before I let you go, I just want to throw something out there to everybody. If you are a fisherman, whether you're a fly fisherman or even just a lowly old conventional fisherman like Mac Farr, I want to encourage everybody while they're sitting at home, if you love your fly shop or you love your bait and tackle shop, like here in Georgia, we have Unicoi Outfitters and we have the Fish Hawk and we have places like Oakwood Bait and Tackle, and my love of loves is Hammond's Fishing Center. You need to support these guys in these times. These guys, if you like having a shop to go to, and their business right now is really slowed down, now is the time to go out, and if you've got the disposable income, go buy yourself a gift card that you can use for the future.
Good idea.
When things get a little bit better, but it supports these shops so that when this all passes, they can still stay open and serve the community. So I'd really encourage people to try and do what they can to call up and get a gift card. It's not like you're donating the money. You'll get to use it, whether it's for bait or a fly rod or whatever. But these guys can really use our support right now during these times.
Wonderful suggestion.
All right, buddy. By the way, Unicoi Outfitters is running an unguided special at Nacoochee Bend for big trout.
Uh-huh.
You can fish by yourself for $70 on their private waters.
Oh.
Or $75. It's really cheap. So you can go out and catch trophy trout. It's all catch and release, but they're running a Corona special for folks that want to try and social distance themselves.
And who is that please?
I'm sorry?
And who is that again, please?
Unicoi Outfitters.
Unicoi Outfitters.
Yes, sir. Up in Helen.
So okay.
Listen, I gotta go put my pants on. I gotta get out to the lake for first.
I'll see you later, pal. Hey, let's we've got 2 minutes to talk to Jim from Loganville. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Lovely.
This is gonna be a strange one for you because I don't hunt or fish.
Okay, that's all right.
I used to when I was younger, and I've got an 8-point shoulder mount that I got in Putnam County.
Good.
I live in Loganville, Georgia, near Snailville, and I own quite a few weapons, but I've never put a round in any of them or fired any of them. And Hilltop Pond in Snailville, that used to be up on the hill, but now they got their own place by the new QT they put in. They can tell you I've bought over 180 weapons from them.
Wow.
But I have severe PTSD because of military.
Okay.
I'm retired Sergeant Major, but what I'd like to ask or tell you, you do the Medal of Honor, and I appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
I have a friend, Drew Dix. He's a Congressional Medal of Honor winner.
Drew Dix. D-I-X?
Drew Right, D-I-X.
Okay.
But Drew Dix, he got a battlefield commission, and he retired as a major in Alaska. He's now the head of Homeland Security up there, unless he's already retired from that, too. But he retired from out of Fort Wainwright, Alaska. We were stationed together up there for a while, but we were also special forces together. In fact,
he is a Medal of Honor recipient.
Yes, he is.
Well, I'll look him up. I promise.
At the time he was a Sergeant First Class E7 when he was awarded it. I was with Fifth Special Forces. I retired as a team commander of a Halo scuba team, Oscar Delta 515. I guess I don't shoot anymore. My son has gotten so old that he's retired military too, and not sound bad, but I really didn't want him to ever go in the military, but he wanted to be a ranger like daddy and special forces and all, but he couldn't go special forces because in October of 2005, I almost lost him a sniper round, popped him in the right rear base of the skull, went meat all the way through, came out below his left ear. And he got permanently deaf in his left ear. But he went back, finished that tour. and went back and did another tour. But he's retired now, too, just above Fort Jackson, South Carolina. Okay. That's where he
Jim,
went to the drill.
Jim, I've got to go to a hard break. I want to thank you for your service.
If you would.
I will. Drew Dix. I'll do it.
Get Drew Dix and do it one time. I appreciate it because I listen to you every weekend.
Okay, I got to go. This is O'Neill. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much.
To O'Neill Outside, the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the country. We appreciate your participation and your calls. You make the program interesting. It's not me. So with that in mind, let's talk to Black is on the line here. We'll get to Black right away. What do you say, my good friend?
How you doing, O'Neill?
I'm doing great. How about you, Black?
I'm up on top shelf. I got a question. About turkeys.
Go.
Okay.
Okay.
I saw a turkey still on roost at 10 a.m. What's going on with the turkeys?
Mm-hmm. Who knows what time he got up there? He may have been up early and then something else ran him up into the trees. It'd be tough to say. I've seen them up to 8:30 and 9 o'clock on the roost before. A lot of times, you got to remember how this works. Was that a gobbler that you saw?
Yes, sir. Big one.
Okay. All right. The what happens in the morning is he's on the limb, okay? And he wakes up, he ruffles his feathers, and he struts, and he walks. Sometimes he'll walk up and down the limb, and he will gobble. And that's when the hens that are close by that recognize that gobble or hear that gobble, they will fly over there to him. And they will wait on the ground under the limb, under the tree, until he decides to fly down and mate with them. So maybe he didn't have any, when you saw him, maybe he didn't have any hens under the limb.
I don't think so, O'Neill. Listen, didn't you say
that was it?
He couple, was mm-hmm. couple weeks or 3 weeks ago that there was over 5 million turkeys.
There's 7 million.
You said I thought you said five.
Well, you know, I could have. I lie a lot, you know.
No, you fine. Listen, another question, and I'm gonna let you go. How long has it been since I met you up at the, what you call them, in Atlanta?
Oh, God.
I don't remember,
Black.
I found you way in the back, finding a kiss on top of your bald head. I did.
I don't know, 15 years?
And listen, you promised me you was going to take me fishing, and but I ain't going to fuss you out on it. I love you. I love the program.
You know, like I said before, I lie a lot.
How's Gail and all of them?
She's doing just fine. We're staying inside. I hope you are too.
Yes, sir. We got to whip this thing. I tell you, O'Neill, what they're trying to thin the population out.
You think so?
Yes, sir.
I don't think that far ahead. I think this has happened. We've had pandemics of this kind on this planet probably 50 times in recorded history.
Polio way back, polio cases.
Right, and the biggest one was. Then I gotta go. The Spanish influenza.
Yes, sir.
Listen to this. Then I'm gonna hang up.
Listen.
In the Spanish influenza in 1918, one third of the human race had the Spanish flu.
Amazing.
And 50 million people died from it.
Right.
O'Neill, we made it back.
Your cap out.
All right. Well, send me your address. I'll send you another one. Black.
Let me give it to you right quick. 801 Jackson Lake Road. Jackson, Georgia, 30233. You got it?
Got it. I got it. We'll send it to you, pal. See you soon, my friend. Let's see. It's 44 after the hour. Let's talk to Richard now. Richard's calling from West Virginia. Good morning, Richard. I always look forward to hearing from you.
Okie dokie, Smokey. You know, you hear a lot of times, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, well, you said just a little bit ago that the callers make the show. I never had anybody tell me
that. Oh, absolutely.
I never tell anybody told me that I made the show. They always say that I make the show worse. I don't know about that. But I wanted to find out.
You do.
The war. Do you know what the history of the war is? Just something that interests me because fish have been feeding on other different fish forever. I just wonder if there's any certain person who invented the lure and what was the reason behind it. It's just, I don't know, it's just any type of fish you would use, it just seems like forever and ever the fish would just eat their own or eat bait. Just interests me.
Absolutely, but the artificial lures were invented eons ago. The Native Americans invented lures to use before the Europeans ever made it to America. They use feathers for lures. So to identify one person or group of people, Europeans probably first, but artificial lures existed in America before the Europeans ever landed at Plymouth Rock. Interesting, huh? Eons ago. Well, yeah. Well, yes, okay. Thousands of years ago.
It just seems to me.
Even the Eskimos did.
I don't know. I guess you can't, if it was that long ago, most certain person that did it. It just seems to me that if you're going to fish for something, they have a certain bait that they would be, you could use a live bait that they would use. That's why.
Absolutely.
I was really surprised that you use the word that it did happen that many years ago. I thought it might have been like maybe 35, 40, 50 years ago.
Oh, no. No, it's become very sophisticated since then, of course, because of capitalism, and capitalism creates. Isn't that nice? That's a great thing to remember in it. Capitalism creates. Oh, that's good. I got to remember that. Richard, I'm glad you called, pal. As always, be sure and call next week. Right now, I got to go, pal. All right, there you go. Now, if you will, Cody, let's get into the most prominent and most attractive portion of the program, that being the Medal of Honor.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now, let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
James Williams, he was a boatswain's mate, first class. He was in the Navy, October 1966, Vietnam War. Williams was serving as a boat captain aboard a river patrol boat and was suddenly taken under fire by two enemy vessels. Williams immediately ordered the fire returned, killing the crew of one boat and the other boat, causing it to take refuge in a nearby river inlet. Williams' boat encountered heavy volumes of small arms fire from enemy forces from positions along the riverbank. Maneuvering through this fire, the patrol confronted a numerically superior enemy force aboard 10 boats and heavy automatic weapons fire from the shoreline. In the savage battle that ensued, Williams, with utter disregard for his safety, exposed himself to the withering hail of enemy fire to direct counterfire and inspire the actions of his patrol. Recognizing the overwhelming strength of the enemy force, he then discovered an even larger concentration of enemy boats. Not waiting for reinforcements via helicopters, he boldly led the patrol through the intense enemy fire and damaged or destroyed 57 more enemy boats. Now, virtually dark, he moved the patrol perilously close to the shoreline and pressed the attack. despite a waning supply of ammunition, the patrol successfully engaged the enemy ashore and completely routed the force. Under the leadership of Williams, who demonstrated skill and courage throughout the three-hour battle, accounted for the destruction and loss of 65 enemy boats and literally inflicted hundreds of casualties on the enemy personnel. His extraordinary heroism and exemplary fighting spirit in the face of grave risk inspired the efforts of his men to defeat the larger enemy force, and in keeping with the finest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service. James Williams died in 1999. He was 69 years old. He was, listen, this is interesting, he was a Native American, a Cherokee, and he was the most decorated enlisted man in the history of the Navy. James Williams, Bosun's Mate, Vietnam, 1966. It's 50 minutes after the hour. Wow. Let's give away something. What do you say? A $25 gift certificate for a meal at Rocco's in Jasper, Georgia. So if you live close to Jasper, Dawsonville, Blue Ridge, then you're a candidate to answer the following question. It's an easy one. Who is Gail Williams' favorite singer? Who is Gail Williams' favorite singer? 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. We'll send you the gift certificate. After the quarantine thing is over, you can go to Rocco's. Get you some wings. They have some great steaks, burgers. Oh, man. Great place to eat. Gail and I, until this started going on, Gail and I went to Rocco's at least once a week. It's a very, very famous Jasper, Georgia pub. It's called Rocco's Pub. It's 52 after the hour. It's been a great morning, hasn't it? And let me take this opportunity before we get any more calls for the winner of the radio for the prize package. Let me encourage you to be positive about our economic and health situation. In the history of modern civilization, there's been more than 50 pandemics. We made it successfully through every single one of them, and we will this one also. The most recent one was the H1N1 called the swine flu. More people died from that than have died in the United States from the COVID-19. Chin up. We're going to make it just fine. Just follow the rules. Maintain your distances. If you must go out, wear a face mask. Otherwise, keep your distance and go outside and enjoy the outdoors. I understand most of the lakes are just full of people because the companies have closed, people are taking off. So make that part of your weekend. What do you say? All right, this is O'Neill. We're going to go out early for this break. And enjoy the weekend. Don't let this take you down a few notches, okay? There's a positive effect. You may spend more time with your family. And be careful, and O'Neill will be back in a couple of minutes. Pour me another one. Make it a strong one. We're going to have some fun tonight. And it's 57 after the hour. We've had a couple of great outdoor conversations, and we want to conclude the Rocco's Pub free coupon for dinner, and we want to talk to Bernstein calling from Stone Mountain, Georgia. What a great name. Good morning.
Good morning.
And who is Gail Williams' favorite singer?
Johnny Mathis.
And not a bit surprised, are you?
No.
No, he's fabulous. We have your information. We'll send you the coupon. I hope you make the trip up to Rocco's, and I know you'll enjoy it after the quarantine is over.
Okay, thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you. Appreciate your participation in the program. There you are. It's all 58 after the hour. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. So let me preach to you just for a second, okay? You may think you're a tough guy. You may think, oh, hell, I can go where I want to go. I can do what I want to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. There's more to it than that about our stay-at-home instructions. Pay attention. You may put someone else in jeopardy by doing that. And I want you to keep in mind these health care emergency workers, these people who are sticking with their jobs to look after us. Don't expose them. Keep yourself healthy. Keep yourself quarantined. Maintain your space. If you have to go out, which you shouldn't, wear the face mask. Keep your space. Pay attention. We'll get through this. Smart people will come up with the medicines and vaccines that'll get us through it, and promptly, and the economy will recover promptly. Our problem is finite, and it will be corrected soon. Last thing, then I'll shut up, and I'll go about my business and yours too. Many of the schools are closed. What a great time to take a kid fishing. You're outside, you're enjoying everything, and you're establishing a conversational relationship with probably the most important people in your life, your family. This is O'Neill, and I'll see you next Saturday morning. Enough said.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.